Welcome to EcoTalk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, with another terrific lineup for you. Today, we're going to begin with the important environmental justice story, events continuing to unfold in Bhopal, India. You may say, well, isn't that a very old story, about 22 years old almost? But yes, but there are new developments, disturbing, but also some encouraging actions taking place. And of course, we'll, as always, tell you what you can do about it if you're as concerned as we are about things that are infecting people and their health and their lives as we speak. Diana Ruiz with the Dow Campaign Chair for Bhopal.net will join us. She is the chair for Dow Campaign's Bhopal.net. We'll find out what that is. She's joining me in studio. We'll also be checking in with Raj Sharma. He's an attorney working with Bhopal survivors. And then in our second segment, Shauna Weber, our science advisor for EcoTalk, will be reporting on a new hunting regulation in Alaska that goes against good science. Yes, science. We're supposed to listen to what science is telling us, not ignore it. In the second half of this hour, we'll be speaking with Jack Robinson. He is the CEO of the Winslow Management Company. He's going to be discussing green investment options and also making some distinctions between investing in companies that are less bad versus those that are actually doing good. And you may be surprised to learn, or perhaps not, that many of them are the smaller businesses. And to wrap this hour up, we'll be checking in with Kristen Boyles. She's a staff attorney for Earth Justice, one of our partners. She'll be giving us the lowdown on recent encouraging news about long-term protection for salmon in the Pacific Northwest. First, I want to recognize those who are making EcoTalk possible, the Natural Resources Defense Council and Earth Justice. Thanks so much for letting us do this news every week, week in, week out, where we are greening the states one show at a time. Thanks for joining us, Diana Ruiz. You are the chair with Dow Campaign Bhopal.net. What is that group, first of all?
Well, actually, it's the Dow Accountability Network, and we support the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal.
And tell us, for those who don't remember or need a refresher, what happened in December in 1984?
Well, on the evening of December 2nd, 27 tons of poisonous gas, including methyl isonite, leaked from the storage tank at the Union Carbide pesticide plant in Bhopal, India. And it quickly spread to the surrounding residential areas of the city, and official estimates had the death toll at 3,000 soon after the explosion. And the aftermath of the disaster, as it unfolded, the death toll climbed as high as 8,000. And then to date, there's been 20,000 lives that have been lost.
And is this still the worst toxic release in history?
Yeah, the worst industrial disaster caused by recklessness.
What about Chernobyl?
The human cause.
Where does Chernobyl fit in?
Well, in terms of basically that this was an operation, a pesticide manufacturing company, and
could have been avoided.
Could have been avoided. Exactly.
Okay, Raj Sharma with attorneys for the victims of this horrible disaster. Did Union Carbide take responsibility for cleaning up the site after the accident?
No, they did not. In the aftermath of the disaster, they publicly claimed moral responsibility or accepted moral responsibility for the disaster, but strenuously resisted any attempts to address the legal liability for the disaster. And since then, they've basically kept the plant in the condition that it was after it was closed in December 1984, except for the fact that they've created a massive landfill on the site containing thousands of metric tons of toxic chemicals and hazardous waste, which is now polluting the drinking water supply of we estimate, at least 14 or 16 residential areas adjacent to the plant. They essentially had control of the plant by their own admission, at least until 1994, and they abandoned it with thousands of metric tons of chemical stockpiles above ground, in addition to the landfill, where they continue to leach into the aquifer.
Now, in 1999, Dow Chemical took over. They purchased Union Carbide. They assumed all liability and responsibility for the operations. Did they do any better in terms of addressing what had happened and the health and environmental problems, which we're going to find out a little bit more about what has occurred since then? But at the time, 1999, how did they take over?
Well, they essentially acquired Union Carbide lock, stock, and barrel, and Union Carbide is now a wholly owned subsidiary of Dow Chemical. And if anything, Dow Chemical's response has been even more evasive than Union Carbide's, because they claim that they have no responsibility for the plant since they didn't own Union Carbide at the time, and they had no connection to Union Carbide.
How convenient.
During the period. Yes, it's important to note in that context that their position really has no legal foundation. I mean, if you acquire a company's assets, you acquire its liabilities. That's an issue which they've managed to dodge in their PR. But that is the reality of the situation.
And do the liabilities and the problems, health and environmental, continue to mount, Diana, even though this was 22 years ago?
Yes. I mean, as Raj mentioned, that there's 14 districts that residential districts in the city of Bhopal that, you know, are forced to drink high levels of contaminated water. You know, close to 20,000 residents to this day drink water that is laced with alarming high levels of toxic pollutants. And, you know, since the disaster, there's over 150,000, women and children that it's continued to suffer from the exposure of the toxic chemicals, and you know, now suffer from severe cancer, neurological damage, mental and mental illnesses, and also severe depression.
Now let's bring this story up to date. It was just a few weeks ago where several dozen survivors of Bhopal and their offspring marched about 800 kilometers to New Delhi to protest the lack of cleanup and insisting that more action be taken. What happened there?
Yes, they actually arrived on March 24th in New Delhi. They launched their march on February 20th, and upon arrival in New Delhi, the marchers, it was close to over 200 people, marched to the Ministry of Chemicals first. That was their first destination, and soon after, many of the marchers were cleared and taken to, were detained at a police station.
Including women and children. And
yes.
They were held how long?
They were held for a day.
Children. As young as
as the age of 9.
And they did that because they were concerned that these women and children were somehow dangerous?
Right. That, you know, could, you know, that are a threat, basically.
And this coincided with President Bush's arrival in the region. And he had an entourage of about 25 CEOs, including, conveniently, Dow Chemical CEO.
Yeah, strangely enough, actually during the march, a week into the march, President Bush arrived in New Delhi with Dow CEO.
And did anything? Were there protests around his arrival?
Yes, upon his arrival, there was a large support group, international campaign support group in New Delhi that also rallied around. Basically raising the demands of the Bhopal survivors, and also, you know, along the march, the Bhopal survivors also had a had demonstrations along the way upon Bush's arrival.
Raj, what are those demands right now, and does it look like they will be met?
Well, I think the demands primarily are for a supply of clean drinking water to the affected communities, establishing a national commission on Bhopal to address outstanding health problems and employment issues that survivors continue to face on a daily basis. There's also the important question of criminal liability for Union Carbide. There was a criminal case filed against Union Carbide in India after the disaster for its criminally reckless and negligent conduct in causing that disaster. And Union Carbide has refused to appear to face those charges since about 1992, when the Indian courts declared it an absconder or fugitive. So there's demands relating to the government of India's failure to follow through on that criminal prosecution and secure the appearance of Union Carbide.
We just have a minute left in this segment, but has this roused the attention of many Americans and others around the world who are now more concerned about the aftermath of this disaster?
Yes, I think one of the remarkable successes that we can attribute to the survivors' organizations and the international campaign is that 20 plus years after the fact, there's a greater awareness about Bhopal today. than there was perhaps about these issues at the time that the disaster took place. We now have Amnesty International, Greenpeace, and community groups and activists all over the world, including in the United States, that are actively engaged on this issue.
We hope we can help shine a light on this horrendous occurrence and the aftermath that continues. Thank you so much, Raj Sharman, attorney for Bhopal Survivors, and Diana Ruiz, chair of Dow Campaigns, Bhopal.net. You can find links to their websites at our website, www.ecotalk.net.